I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league. Yes, the FA Cup reaches the first qualifying round this weekend. The Step 3 sides are in, and there are 112 ties to look forward to. Phil Annetts is, as ever, the man in the know at FA Cup Fact File, and is the man at the top of the show to give us insight, knowledge, and the magic of the FA Cup. 55 Step 5 clubs have made it through to this stage from the extra preliminary round. One of those is AFC Stoneham, and we speak to Chair Mark Stupple about his club and the 1,500 plus players registered with them at the start of this season across a multitude of sides under the club banner. Rounding up the week's news is John Couch of the Non-League Paper. More insight and more knowledge about the football we know and love, as well as previews of this weekend's Non-League Paper. Much to come then, so sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. It is the end of August and the FA Cup is well underway. For some of the clubs taking part in this weekend's FA Cup first qualifying round, this is their third match in this season's competition, and you can be sure their fans are as engaged as ever. 745 clubs compete in this season's competition as a whole, and I think there's 224 ready to do battle this weekend. Only one man to tell us more. He's back, and it's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Mr. at FA Cup Fact File, Mr. Phil Annetts. Welcome back, Phil.
Hello, Tim. Yes, good to be back. Another week and another FA competition to talk about.
Indeed. But we have got the greatest cup competition in the world, haven't we? And I know that you love a bit of tradition, but surely it's been a while since all ties in a round were played on the same day. It looks like all 112 ties are taking place this Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's, I'd like that to be true, but unfortunately it just got announced about one being played on the Friday night. Which is great for those who want to go to games on a Friday. I can't remember who it was. It's Hamworth Villa versus Walton and Hersham playing on Friday night. So that's broken that duck. And I think also Great Yarmouth might be playing on Sunday. So nearly true, but not quite.
There's nothing like accuracy on the FA website. But move along. Well, that's good. So there's a potential to take in three games this weekend. I see the BBC are heading up to the North East again for their live red button game. Interestingly, Blythe Spartans are the away team there. Got rid of their manager Nobby Solano this weekend. So I wonder whether that might have been part of their reason of going up there.
Yeah, he hasn't had it. He didn't have a great start, did he? Six games and no wins. So I think he's the shortest manager in history. So, yeah, not a great acclaim to have. An FA Cup with a potential, I don't know what they call it, banana skin with a team two levels below. So, yes, probably figured that now was the time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay. Campion Blythe Spartans, you can watch on the red button and all the other BBC things at 12:30 PM kickoff on Saturday. I did mention for some clubs this is going to be their third match in the competition. And I think actually it's nearly half, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about 104 of the 224 clubs are still standing after having started back at the beginning of the month, including 55 clubs from Step 5. And there are about 13 all Step 5 club ties, so they'll still be going by the time the National League clubs come in during next month.
And what a day that could potentially be for those Step 5 clubs. Obviously, Step 5 clubs are the lowest entries in this season's competition. Of course, it's not just about the money, but it shouldn't be overlooked that those 104 clubs, and particularly those 55 from Step 5, they've already bagged, what, £2,569 in prize money, guaranteed at least another £750, even if they lose this weekend. So that's over £3,300. That's a big boost to 100-plus clubs in the pyramid.
Yes, the FA Cup does still offer that opportunity to realise some income that they wouldn't ordinarily get. I know many clubs don't bank on the cup run, so it's always a bonus to their coffers. It's good. I still think it could be more. I think the FA still could do a lot more to spread the prize money across the clubs all the way through the competition. But you know, it is good for the clubs to be able to generate such income.
Yeah, and I said for this, this is their third game in the competition. But for a couple of clubs, this is their third game in the competition because we've still got a couple of debutants left.
Yeah, it's always good to see how the clubs who are taking part for the first time get on. So we've still got two clubs standing who are in their first ever competition. We've got Newcastle Blue Star, who obviously are the reincarnation of a previous Blue Star club that did compete in the competition, and also Larkfield and New Hythe Wanderers, who are going to take on Cray Wanderers in an all-Wanderers clash there. So both of those will be looking to, you know, continue their debut runs, and good luck to them, and well done for getting so far.
I wonder whether Larkfield and New Hythe are going to copy Cray Wanderers, who had a live band the other day at Flamingo Park playing the Wanderer as the sides came out. It's maybe people local to the ground can chuck their hat into the ring or their guitar into the ring. Maybe, I don't know. debutants of course are going to be creating history, and there's plenty of other clubs on the cusp to seeking to reach the second qualifying round for the first time. For those wanting to witness history, though, at Hartbury University, that wouldn't be a bad idea?
Yes, definitely the tie that's guaranteeing history in the competition we made for one club or the other as they take on Nailsea and Twickenham. Neither of them have been this far in the competition before, never mind into the next round. So, yes, one of those two clubs will be celebrating another historic moment for them.
Yeah, and talking about history, yeah, it's it is of course the round when we welcome the Step 3 clubs, 88 of them from the Trident Leagues. There, any exciting ties? We're talking about history, giant killings maybe on the cusp.
Yeah, this is the first round where we've got a potential 2-step gap between opponents in the competition, and there's about 24 ties where that is the case. And quite a few of the Step 5 sides are going to be travelling to Step 3 opposition, including my local club, Wallingford and Cromarsh. They're going to travel down to Havant and Waterlooville in one of those ampersand derbies. And I'm hoping to be getting down there to see how they get on in what I'd regard as probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, match in the club's history.
Yeah, and it's always exciting days for Step 5 against Step 3. What is the definition of a giant killing? Is it a 2-step gap? Do we need a 2-step gap, or can it be a 1-step gap? Because there's going to be some Step 4 against Step 3 sides, and we talk about the gaps between steps. Could that potentially be a giant killing as well?
I call them a cup set, for want of a better term, and then I just identify how many steps there are between them. But I don't know when it becomes a giant killing. It's all respective of each other, isn't it, at the end of the day? But I think if any club defeats another side from a higher division, they've got to feel very good about that, and we should regard that as an upset in the competition. And if they want to call it a giant killing, then I have no problem with them doing that.
You don't, I don't. Maybe in the modern era, maybe giants might be upset by that. So we'll steer clear. we'll keep it as a cup set. We will have a rivalry as well, particularly in the FA Cup. Dudley and Stourbridge, that's something of a local derby. But, I mean, it's also a regular FA Cup tie over the years. And this one's set to tip the balance this weekend.
Yeah, it's probably a more regular FA Cup tie than it has been a league tie in recent times in particular, because I don't think the two clubs have played in the same division for quite some time. But yes, this will be the 11th time that they've been drawn together in the FA Cup, and they each have won five times against each other in the past. So yes, this is a tipping point game, which will give one team the edge over the other. This will be their first meeting this century. In fact, it's, I think, 43 years since they last played in the competition. Dudley Town have already knocked out a side from a level above, so this will be another difficult game for them, but they'll be buoyed by that past victory in the last round.
Yeah, and we love the fact that, you know, clubs do face each other time and time again. I think, is it 25 pairs have met before? But one club, say club, has met their opposition in different guises. It's complicated, isn't it? You can explain it, Phil.
Well, I hope I can. And yes, so Heena Town, or Ena, I think that Ena Town is how you pronounce it, I'm not 100% sure. They've been drawn against Ilkeston Town, which is the first time they'll face this club, but they've actually competed against two previous clubs with the same name, Ilkeston Town, in the past, so this is a third incarnation of that. They've got a 100% record against other Ilkeston Town clubs, playing them both twice. And beaten them both twice. They've also played at Ilkeston FC twice in the past and beaten those. And they've played Ilkeston United twice in the past with one win and just the one defeat against Ilkeston opponents way back in, 96 years ago. So that's how long it's been since a team from Ilkeston has had success against Ena in the FA Cup, despite all the different incarnations.
And that's why you're our top stat man. You know, for others, that would have been a potential banana skin. But no, you know all the information and all the stats behind it. For those looking for some goals, any tips on where to head this weekend?
Well, we've got a couple of clubs who've already scored a dozen goals in the competition this season. Binfield, who scored 9 away from home in the last round. They travelled to Lordswood, so maybe they've got their scoring boots on again. And Withenshaw Town, it's their first they've ever got in a competition. They've also scored 12, and they go up to Whitchurch Alport, again, looking to try and continue that scoring streak.
Oh, and the chance for those goal scorers to maybe head to Wembley later on in the season as well. It can, the FA Cup can change careers, can't it, with some great games. Changing careers for most of us, though, is probably difficult, but we can at least impress our friends on the terraces or in the clubhouse bar. Any other stats we need to know this week to be that man in the know?
Well, we covered off most of the major ones there. We've got 20 ties, I guess, who are taking part where the clubs are foes from the same league, so there'll be common area there. So I think the Northern Premier League, Premier Division, and Isthmian League Division 1 North and Southern League Premier South have 7 ties each, I think, I'm not sure it's 7, but they're the most ties each where they will face common foe, if you like, for want of a better term. So yes, you've got that stat. Other than that, let's watch it on the weekend and see what stories are made.
Indeed. I think we need a series of T-shirts made up with all these different phrases, the common foe, the cupset, and that sort of thing. Of course, there's plenty of stuff that Philinets already offers. Where can people find out more and keep up to date with all your stats and facts?
Yes, so I'm on Twitter, stroke X, as it's now called, on at FA Cup Fatfar, and I produce stats and facts for every tie of this round, which you can see just if you check out my thread on there and continue on this week. And you can also get links there to all my previews and reviews for each round of the competition.
Fantastic stuff. Phil and Itz, as ever, always a pleasure to get you on at FA Cup Fatfar. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Tim, you too. Enjoy your game.
So let's stay then with the FA Cup, and one of those 55 Step 5 clubs still in the competition. In fact, it's tie 101 on the official list. I don't know what that means, but a trip to another Step 5 side in Fleet Town this weekend for my next guest as he sees his in-form AFC Stoneham side on the road for the FA Cup first round qualifying tie. A big day, but this is a club about far more than just senior men's in the FA Cup, as we will find out later. But first of all, it's a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show Chairman at AFC Stoneham, Mark Stoppel. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, it's good to finally get you on. I say in form, the Perps, what, two wins from two in the Wessex Premier, but because of your cup exploits, some of your league rivals, they've got five league games under their belt already, so... You're perhaps riding under the radar on that embryonic table, but again, similarly, your hosts on Saturday, similar position in the Combined Counties Premier South, one draw, one win for them. I'm sure your management team will have done their homework, but I guess it sets up one of those old-fashioned cup ties, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're this believe it or not, this will be our fifth FA Cup game this season. We've only played two league games, as you rightly say, which we've won. We've been fortunate enough to win both of them, but we beat Moneyfields in the preliminary round away, and then
step four Moneyfields, so a level above,
yes,
step you.
So they won our league last season and got promoted to step four. Slight bit of revenge, but I'd probably have rather won the league. But there we go. So that was a good win for us at step four Moneyfields. And then we drew a Millbrook, who are in our league. They've just been promoted from step six. And that was they're a tough team to beat. So we went there for the replay. And then we're 1-0 up. And at halftime, the lights go. So that got abandoned. So that was the third game. We had the fourth game there on Tuesday, where we played very well and won 3-1. And then straight away on Saturday, we go to Fleet, who, ironically, we've already played in the pre-season friendly. They beat us in a pre-season friendly. So we know it's going to be a difficult task, but one we look forward to.
Yeah, and, already you've explained it perfectly, but as a reporter like me, it sounds tiring. But for players, club officials, August is quite possibly the most draining and most rewarding of all the months, because you've got youth registrations going on too.
Yeah, so that's a nice segue into our club youth registrations. If I have a pound for everyone that says to me, Tim, I hope you're enjoying a rest in summer, I'll be a multi-millionaire, because trust me, the summer is the busiest time of the year.
Close season. You just wish you could close your door and no one could find you.
Yeah, I remember the days when we used to go and play cricket and have a holiday and disappear for 3 months. But those days have gone, and obviously as a club, your listeners might not know, but we've affiliated at the moment 137 teams for next season as a club. Now, coming back to your point, that's 1,500 registrations by about three or four of us, and that keeps us very, very busy, meeting the criteria on FA Whole Game to register players. So, yeah, we'll have 137 teams as things stand, and, it keeps you very busy.
Yeah, we talk about community clubs on the show, where sort of week in, week out, maybe 20 to 30 sides in a club. But as you say, you've got, what, under 6 or under 18s, development side, 23s, vets, ladies in the pyramid, which are, as well as various development, Wildcats, fun sessions, that sort of thing. And the red tape in football has increased dramatically in the last, two or three years. It's all there for the right reasons, but you can't afford to miss anything, can you?
Yeah, I mean, we've touched on these things before, Tim, but I think there's more and more workload being put on unpaid volunteers by paid people within football. And I think what worries me, a lot of those volunteers are of a certain generation, and I wonder sometimes where those volunteers are coming from, where they're coming from the years to come to undertake the workload that, as you rightly say, is only increasing daily, really.
And on one hand, it sounds fantastic, all those people, there's a lot of stress that comes with it. It melts my brain a little bit thinking about all the touch points that you've potentially got there, and you're actually doing it in a very busy football area as well. You're sort of an extra long goal kick from Eastleigh, so football's clearly thriving in the local area.
Yeah, I mean, in Southampton and Eastleigh, we have a lot of competition. You know, we get on well with our competition, but we are all competing for a lot of players within the Southampton area, if you like. And I think one of the biggest challenges, again, moving forward is space. You know, it's space to train, space to play. And that's becoming limited as the demand for particularly children playing football increases all the time. And I guess a great example for that as a club is 5 years ago, we had one girls team, one female team. This season, we've affiliated 33 female teams. Wow. And that shows you the growth of female football, which is fantastic for us as a club. And we're delighted with it. And it changes the dynamic of the club, which is great. But again, you're always looking for more pitch space and more training space to get the children playing football.
Yeah, and you know, it's like a fairy tale, really, isn't it? Because I mean, it was only 10 years ago you were back in the Hampshire League, and really not too long ago that the club nearly folded.
Yeah, I mean, I've been chairman for 10 years, fortunately. We were struggling at the time financially to a large degree. We leased land from the council, and really that was our although we very much built the club at our old ground, that's very much the where the DNA of the club is and where our heart was, that's where we built it. But the council sold our land for around 9 million, and 6 or 7 of that was put into a new site supported by the Premier League, the FA and the Department of Culture, Media and Sport. And we went there with 39 teams at the start of 2000. But obviously in that, straight away, we had COVID. And obviously we've grown in that period from that 39 teams to nearly 100 more today in just over 4 years, including a break for COVID. So those facilities have undoubtedly worked and helped us attract players to our club. And that was really the remit of the FA and the government to improve facilities in the area and get children and adults to enjoy playing the beautiful game at fantastic facilities.
And they are now, but as you say, we probably need a bit more space all around the land. And a question I often ask of people like yourself, though, but yeah, running these great clubs, putting lots of smiles on lots of people's faces, if you knew then what you know now, would you have done it 10 years ago?
It's a great question, Tim. You have to be mad. You've definitely got to be mad. Definitely got to be a bit unhinged. I think, you know, we've met. I've had a passion for football. I'm 63 now. I've had a passion for football for the best part of 60 years. And I know what it did for me as a child and as an adult. And I think we see football, we're using football as the vehicle to teach children key life lessons. Mm. Football is only that vehicle. So we're teaching them winning, losing, respect, training, working hard. All those things that I know and you know that they'll use 50 years down the road in their adult lives. So coming back to your question, that's kind of why I do it. And I think it's easy to forget the why, because you do have to deal with a lot of challenges. But when you just strip it back and look at why you do it, that's very, very rewarding. And I feel it's great to be able to give something back, really. So, yes, I would do it again, although it's very hard work.
That's the response I tend to get. Very, very hard work, but we're still here. I've got you on really to talk about the club, but also we've got the FA Cup this weekend. Yeah. You're in this first qualifying round this weekend, but you've got a bit of FA Cup pedigree from last year. You were the FA Cup informed team around this time of year, knocked out step three, Basingstoke Town 5-4, and then you had that day out exiting at Yeovil Town in the second qualifying round. Same again this year, or maybe even further?
Well, Tim, the FA Cup's been very good to us, without a doubt. You know, I don't think we've ever lost the first game. So we've always got through the first round that we're in. Even going back to our first year when we beat Portchester 3-0 in a replay when they were a league above us. But I mean, going back to last year, it would be difficult, especially for someone like me, but also for the club, someone who grew up. I mean, my heroes, I come from a place called Bedford, who had a a very famous non-league, I still do have a very famous non-league club, Bedford Town. And my heroes played for Bedford. And I used to go and watch them in the FA Cup, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s. So I'm of a generation where the FA Cup is very special. So last year for me, kind of almost brought that full circle from watching my heroes at Bedford 50 years before, you know, 55 years before, and actually being part of something very special. And as a step five club, we beat Melksham, who was step four. We then beat Basingstoke, step three. And the Basingstoke game was probably the greatest game I've ever been involved in. I know they wouldn't be reminded about that, Tim, but we were 4-1 down with 40 minutes to go against a team two levels above us, and we won 5-4. And we missed a penalty in that time. So that was a remarkable game. And Yeovil is a club I know that I've had a good friend of mine involved with Yeovil. So when the draw came out, it was Yeovil away that I wanted. I think it was 160 teams in the draw. And I watched it on a laptop. It comes out, doesn't it, on a website. And there were two balls left, Yeovil Town and AFC Stoneham. And I couldn't believe it. So with the Basingstoke game and the Yeovil draw within 48 hours, I always think there was someone looking down on us that 48 hours. And it was definitely the magic of the FA Cup. And I put a post at the time that I think it was 10 years to the day that we played Yeovil last year in the FA Cup. 10 years prior to that, our boys were paying £5 to play in the County League. And on the same day, Yeovil were playing in front of 25,000 in the Championship at Hillsborough against Sheffield Wednesday. So that, for me, is the magic of the FA Cup, really.
It is the magic of the FA Cup. But, who knows? You've had the floodlight failure this year. You know, you could be the one with all the stories behind you this year.
Well, I mean, we've beaten Moneyfields, we've beaten Millbrook. Fleet will be definitely a tough nut to crack, but I'm sure we're very capable, as I'm sure Fleet will. We'll look at it as an opportunity for them to advance again. And if we can do that, we're in the same round as we got to last year against Yeovil. So another great achievement, really.
Yeah. And so recent cup pedigree then. Maybe an FA Vars run, perhaps? You can come in the next round, the second qualifying round, another Wessex League side trip to Christchurch. Is that maybe a more realistic possibility?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the Vars. I mean, last year we had... And Farnham did as well. We had the misfortune of being drawn at Farnham Town in the first game.
Yeah.
And both teams would have gone crikey, you know. With respect, we both had strong teams. We were both expected to go well in the Vars. And it was a shame that we drew each other and we lost out 2-1 with a last-minute penalty. But I think the Vars generally, you know, we talk about the FA Cup. We're probably not going to win the FA Cup. But the Vars is a competition that we feel we should have done better in, really. Considering we're, you know, one of the stronger teams in our league now, and it only goes up to step five, although it goes across the whole country and there's very strong competition. It is a competition that we should be better in, really. And we would hope to do so, absolutely.
So, FA Cup first round aside, maybe FA Vars run to, who knows, maybe Wembley. Promotion, you mentioned, missed out in the playoffs last term, but what's the long-term dream of the club? I guess promotion's up there, but long-term for the club?
Yeah, I mean, I think, the last two seasons, we've gained 95 points both seasons. Season before last, we missed out on goal difference. Last season, we lost in the playoff final, so we couldn't have got a lot closer than what we are. And obviously, you know, our aim, it's no secret, is to get into step four football. I think for me, as a chairman of a club that size, Tim, with everything that goes with it, we have to be realistic. I think it has to be sustainable over a long period of time, because I have to look over all of those teams, not just the first team. Although they're very much the flagship and they're the ones that raise the bar all the time, I have to look at the whole thing. So I think the ambition at the moment, short term, is to get into step four. Be sustainable and challenging at step four. But I think we have to learn from other people and other examples where, you know, if the wrong money comes in and the wrong model's put in place, that you can fall very quickly. And we certainly don't want that as a club. So we have to be sensible. I do actually think, and I can only really relate this to the Wessex League at step five. For us, or in this area, I think it's, dare I say, it's harder to get out of step five than stay in step four, because I think ourselves, Baffins, you know, at the moment, obviously Porchester, people at Andover New Street, Portland, you know, these are all teams that, that are strong and I think could be fairly comfortable at step four, as I think Moneyfields and Shaftesbury will be this season, having got promoted last year.
Yeah, it is a very strong local area. I do often sort of relate it to how the North East used to be when those clubs were dominating the FA Vars for so many years. It does seem a lot of strength in depth.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me started on the playoffs, but I mean, we all know the playoffs are there. We all know that at the start of the season, but trust me, when you have to play, and this is no disrespect to Baffins last year, but when you have to play a semi-final against a team that you've finished 28 points ahead of, that's a challenge. And that team only found out 3 days before they're in that semi-final. So the psychology is they've got absolutely nothing to lose and we've got everything to lose. And coming back to that point about how difficult it is to get out of this league, I think, you know, for only one to get promoted is tough. One to get promoted automatically.
Yeah.
There is a second in the playoffs, but that's tough because theoretically you are keeping, you know, you're keeping very ambitious clubs, and it's not just Stoneham. I'm sure Porchester would definitely fall into that category, Baffins, and there's lots of others, and that's purely in the Wessex League. You know, you're stopping theoretically very ambitious clubs progressing.
Yeah. I suppose that's where the cup competitions. I see the strength in depth around, and you know the frustrations of, you know, people like yourself that are trying to build clubs, you know, all the right way, as you say, with the correct model. And it's but the wonders of the pyramid are sometimes the downfall of the pyramid, I think. It's been great to get you on the Non-League Football Show, Mark. I know we'll talk off air at length as well, but hopefully we'll get you back on. Maybe further progression in the FA Cup of FA Vars. But have a great season, and thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
And when we get Chelsea at home in the third round, give me another call and we'll have another interview. Cheers, Tim. Thank you.
Would you believe it? It's that time of the week again. Yes, it's where we head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. It's a welcome back once again to the Non-League Football Show. Executive editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good. As I say, you know, it's that time of the week again, just disappearing. We had the FA Trophy and FA Vars underway last week. A few surprises in that. And now this week, we're back on the FA Cup trail. We spoke with Phil Annette earlier, but to reiterate, what have we got? 112 ties this weekend, 224 clubs competing. 104 of those have already won two matches in the competition starting this season in the extra preliminary round. We've got 55 of those clubs also still in there from step five. That's over £3,300 in prize money secured from those two wins and this round. The FA Cup isn't just about a bit of fun for you and I to talk about. It changes clubs. It changes lives for those involved in those clubs.
It certainly does, and it's hotting up from this moment. I mean, obviously, these days the FA Cup gets underway before some leagues do, and these clubs have been up and at it for a while now. As you say, we got to the first qualifying rounds. And things are starting to get interesting now. The step three teams are in there, and it won't be long before the step two, and then even the step one boys are there for the fourth qualifying round. And all of a sudden, you're in a situation where you could be finding yourself against against a football league club in a real roaring tie. And it really is all to play for. And already in this cup competition on Saturday, there's some great ties. There really, I mean, Dudley Town against Stourbridge. I've recently moved to the area, and I know just what a big tie that is. And Dudley Town are chomping at the bit. They've already beaten Worcester City to get that far, which is a real coup for them. And now all of a sudden they're playing Stourbridge, who are absolutely flying themselves at step three. That'd be a big test for them. And yes, Stourbridge haven't had the best of times over the last couple of years, but But since Lee McDonald's come in, they've been excellent this season, and a 5-1 victory over AFC Telford has propelled them to a new level. And but they won't find it easy against Dudley. But that's one tie that I'm certainly looking forward to. But there's some great ones out there as well. Tadcaster against Macclesfield. Tadcaster, they've had a real tough time, haven't they, over the last few years with their pitch and drainage and flooding, and they got relegated as well. They just haven't been able to get any luck anywhere. But this is their time now. They've drawn Macclesfield, and it really is the plum draw of the round. And I hope that Macclesfield bring a fair few down there, and few of the Tadcaster locals go down there and make it a real event to remember. Because if there's a club that deserve a turn in fortunes, it's them. And that's just two ties of a long, long list of FA Cup first qualifying round matches on Saturday. We just can't wait for.
Yeah, that's what's great about the early rounds like that Dudley Stourbridge tie, because it's regionalised. You do get this local sort of whiff around it. I know Macclesfield Tadcaster are probably not a great local derby, but you know, not too difficult to get down. Probably A64 M62, isn't it? Sort of across it. There's an extra bit of magic, I think, in this first and second qualifying round that maybe you don't get until you get back to the first round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as you say, it's regionalised, so it's opportunity of getting a local club, getting a well supported local club that you probably wouldn't normally play. Maybe in a pre-season friendly or whatever, or you might forge new relations with a club and bring in future pre-season friendlies. That's happened many times over the years as well. Yeah, this is a real opportunity for clubs like Tadcaster and Dudley and Dudley Town to open up and reach out to a new section of supporters, new supporters from their local area. And you know, let them say, look, you know, we're still going. We really, really need your support. And what better way than the FA Cup to do that?
Yeah, all very exciting. And I don't think you're a non-league fan unless you've got an FA Cup story to tell. Have you? It's the one thing that tends to bring us all together. If you're in a crowded room and you suddenly find somebody and you start talking about non-league football, it's normally the FA Cup stories that come out.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone loves an FA Cup story, and us supporters, we've been through it. I can remember a few. I think the one that really sticks out for me was when I was a young cub reporter covering Farnborough, and we ended up drawing Arsenal in round four, and of course that was known for the game before Graham Wesley left for Wepa Stevenage, but that day will forever be remembered by Farnborough for the build up more than anything. Obviously, Farnborough drew them at home, but it soon became apparent that they were never going to play that tie at Sherwood Road in that given time. And Graham took them abroad to La Manga for a nice golfing and relaxing week in the build-up to the tie. And they turned up at Highbury, and with the likes of Patrick Vieira and Robert Pires and Petty and David Seaman, Sol Campbell, they were all there. They lost 5-1. But, you know, Rocky Baptiste scoring that goal is probably still the most famous goal that Farnborough have ever scored. And it will go down in history, and I'm sure Rocky himself, wherever he is, he'll be remembering that and telling his grandchildren that one day. That's the beauty of the FA Cup. It happens every now and again. There's lots of non-league clubs who can tell some great stories very recently as well. And basically, that's why we all love the FA Cup. Look at Cray Valley last year. Ended up drawing with Charlton Athletic. That was just tremendous. And it's days like that. That's why we love this competition.
And yeah, and we look forward to this weekend with those 112 ties. Someone that might have been looking forward to that was Nobby Solano, I guess. In our managerial moves, Blythe Martin's FA Cup game on the BBC this weekend, but he's out of Blythe Martin. 6 games, 3 draws, 3 defeats, second bottom of the Northern Premier League. It's tough being a manager.
Yeah, I think he'd agree with that. It was a bit of an experiment, wasn't it, bringing him in? Obviously, he's a very popular guy locally for what he did as a player at Newcastle. There were a few raised eyebrows when he got that opportunity at Blythe Spartans, having just been relegated. The new owners there thought he may be the man to put bums on seats and help the club recover and pick up. And it just hasn't happened for them, has it? Their pre-season was tough. I think they took a couple of heavy beatings in pre-season, and it never really clicked so far this season at step three. They had a very tough bank holiday weekend, and that was the end of Nobby Solano after six matches, which is a bit of a shame for him. Not quite sure where he goes from here. I hope for his benefit there is light at the end of the tunnel there, but it just goes to show, I mean, what a tough job being a manager and being a coach is. I mean, Nobby Solano was a played at the very, very highest level, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you can just walk into a manager's job or a coach's job at a much lower level and be comfortable. It's a very, very tough job to do, and I think the many managers who do great things in non-league football, I think I think they're remembered for a reason, and I think they're honoured for a reason, because they know their non-league football, and I think that goes a long way.
Yeah, and I think when you are successful as a manager, you need to enjoy it, don't you, really? Because, another example of how tough being a manager can be, the change at Sporting United. One win from 3 in a Southern League Premier Central saw Elliot Sandy depart on Friday before... since we've last spoke on this show, it's now 1 from 5 since the bank holiday weekend, but... In comes Jimmy Dean, notably of Peterborough Sports and more recently Scunthorpe United. A big move and a big statement for both the club and the manager, I think. But also a little harsh on Elliot Sandy after promotion. He had the playoffs the season before that. And I think just a couple of weeks ago, he signed a new 2-year deal with the club. But it's all about results.
Yeah, it was harsh. They had a great year last year, didn't they? Even a year before, he got into the playoffs, and it was a really, really good place to be, Sporting United. They won the title very impressively last year. I think he deserved more than 3 games. You never know what goes on behind closed doors. I suspect maybe there was a little bit more to it than that. Really harsh on him. He's making his way in management. He's been a top player for many years as well in non-league. They've decided to part company. But I'm sure he's got the bit between his teeth now, and he'll be looking for another challenge elsewhere. I'm sure there'll be other clubs who will be very interested to bring him in. In Venice to Spalding, they picked up a very, very good manager in Jimmy Dean, who not long ago was being picked up by Scunthorpe United. They placed a lot of trusted him while they were in the National League and trying to survive in the National League. That shows that he is a good manager, and you just have to look at what he did at Peterborough Sports, and he turned Peterborough Sports into a top Step 2 team, brought them up from Step 4. So this is a guy who knows non-league at that level, at any level. And that's a really, really good appointment by them. And I'm sure he will turn around fortunes there pretty quickly.
Yeah, and talking about people that know non-league football, Atherton Collieries, David Chadwick's left by mutual consent with the club. I think they gained 1 point from five games, leaving them bottom of the NPL West. But in comes Michael Clegg, back to where it all began. Cleggie, another big statement by club and manager. Clegg is obviously keen to bounce back from that short-lived Macclesfield venture. If anyone can get Coles back up, you'd think it would be Cleggie.
Yeah, very much so. Another really, really good appointment. It hasn't happened for Atherton for a while now. They struggled last season, and eventually we ended up going back to Step 4. But fell for the manager of David Chadwick. It was a tricky start for him. Wasn't able to turn around fortunes. But what better man to come in than Michael Clegg? You know, three promotions, I think, in 5 years, leading the club from Step 6 up to Step 3. This guy's a club legend, and he's just not happened for him since. He's obviously had since at Ashton and Warrington Rylands, and then got that big job at Macclesfield. Deserved a lot more time at Macclesfield. Macclesfield, obviously, at the time, were a club who were with promotion in their eyes, and it didn't quite happen for them. They lost in the playoff final to Marine, and Michael Clegg paid the price for it, and which was tough. He was only there 4 months, but I think he'll be delighted to be back at Atherton Collieries. I mean, obviously he's got a job to do. They've had a sticky start, the bottom of Step 4 at the moment, but under Michael Clegg, I think they'll be there long.
Yeah, and another partner in the waves, another ex-Macclesfield manager, Danny Whittaker's leaving Bradford Park Avenue after a disappointing start. I think one win and one draw in four in the Northern Premier East. It just goes to show again, you know, managers need to bask in the sun while he's there, I guess. It is a tough world. And the wider picture of non-league football, there was some concern with the loss in recent seasons of Wrexham and Notts County from the non-league that crowds might take a hit. But you know, thanks to some excellent data collection work over at non-league crowd, it does look like the beautiful game below the 92 is in good shape. I'm looking across top crowds that they put out this week across the step so far this season. So these are the best ones, obviously. Step 1, what do we have? 8,495 at Southend United. Step 2, 4,426 at Scunthorpe. 3,003 at Macclesfield at Step 3, 2,620 Hensford at Step 4, Step 5, Bury, we've of course there, at 2,947, their top crowd, and at Step 6, 792 at Colville Town. Of course, these are the top attendances, but, I mean, it does sound healthy down at the non-league crowd situation.
Yes, it does, and that's great to see. Those are big numbers, especially lower down the pyramid. I think if you look at the National League, it was always going to take a bit of a hit, losing Wrexham, Notts County, Chesterfield, and that's three huge clubs. You've lost there in the last 2 years. I think it has taken a little bit of a hit at Step 1, but as you rightly say, look down the pyramid, and there's some really big clubs who are bringing in big numbers again, and Colville at Step 6. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, obviously they've been forced to start again at Step 6, but to get a crowd like that, it shows that a lot of people are still right behind them. They haven't lost faith in them at all, and you know, to be bringing in crowds like that for Step Six football is tremendous. Hensford as well. I mean, Hensford have they come very, very close, as you know, to having to do the same as Colville, and you can sort him, and they've been backed very well, haven't they, by the locals, and crowds of 2,000 plus. They're bringing in Steve King as their manager. They've obviously got big ambitions there. Got some excellent players who are used to football a lot higher than Step Four. And the locals are showing their support, and that's great to see. But no, I think you're right. I think non-league football's in really, really good shape right throughout the pyramid. And these bank holiday weekends, great to see that the weather actually kind for us for a change, and football fans could get out and support their local clubs.
Yeah, and of course we know size isn't important, but it's all about the quality of product that's on offer as well, and we've got that in abundance as well across the pyramid. I'm looking at the National League now. What, we're five games in? We usually say it's 10 games before we start to sort of see the table take shape, but certainly clubs like Eastleigh and Gateshead are making early statements at the top, and I've not seen those clubs live this season, but by all accounts there's some great football being played both in the National League but further down as well.
Yeah, very much so. Gateshead, I think, are an absolute breath of fresh air. I must admit I was a little bit concerned about them at the beginning of the season. I thought they'd lost some good players in the good players in the summer. I was wondering whether they could replace those players. So they had an unbelievable preseason, and they're scoring goals for fun. And they've taken that into the National League, and they're absolutely flying at the moment. They're becoming a bit of a surprise package alongside Eastleigh, who we spoke about Eastleigh last week. They went about their business very, very quietly over the summer, and they're moving along really nicely. They had a tough game at Altrincham last year, which last year they may have lost, but they ground out a really hard fought 1-1 win, 1-1 draw, and I think that shows something about them as well. I think Kelvin Davis, who we're hoping to speak to actually this week for the non-league paper, Kelvin Davis has obviously instilled a good spirit and a good character there. And I think it'll be tough for them to continue the start that they've had, but why not? I mean, they're high in confidence, they're scoring goals, and as I say, they've got a bit about them as well. So good to see two new names up there, and good to see that there's plenty of the so-called smaller teams are giving their all against the so-called bigger teams. They're all taking points from each other. As I say, it's a really, really tight division this year. I can't pick who'd be the top three or the bottom three. So that's what's great to see. It's going to be it's going to be a humdinger of a season, I think.
Yeah, and talking about last week, and we're mentioning some of those clubs that have had a great start to the season. We probably do need to re-mention Lewis in Step Three and the Isthmian Premier, the highest placed side with their 100% win record still in place from their opening five league games. There's five wins as a It's difficult at any point in the season, but to start your season off with five league wins is very impressive. But then you look at the rest of the chasers there. It's going to be a very tight division. Cray Valley, Paper Mills and Dartford just, one win behind them and plenty more in the chase. I know Dover got a great win as well in the week. It, again, just shows the strength across the pyramid in each and every division, I think.
Yeah, certainly does. The Isthmian Premier has always been a really intriguing division for me because there's some big clubs in there, and obviously this year with Dartford coming in there as well. I mean it was always going to be interesting to see how they fare, and they started pretty steadily. But the club I'm really pleased to see up there with Dover. I mean, there's no club. I don't think in the pyramid that's had a tougher time as them since COVID. They've really struggled to settle down. They've got the relegation from the National League South last year was perhaps inevitable. It was always going to be really tough to settle down into life back at step three, but they made a really, really good start. I mean, buoyed by the was that an 8-0 opening day victory at Potter's Bar Town. I mean, that would have really raised some eyebrows in that division, and they've kept going. They look really, really strong, and it's really good to see them back in. I mean, that's a big club, as I say, whose fan base have suffered a lot over the last few years, and it'll be nice, really, for those fans to go back and have something to cheer about. Quay Rondres as well. You mentioned Quay Rondres in their new home. Good to see them going well too. And as you rightly say, big clubs in there. Dulwich Hamlet. You forget about Dulwich Hamlet. What a big club though they are, and they're still in there. But wide open for me. But I mean, Lewis and the team to catch. New manager, 5 out of 5. They'll be chomping at the bit, and they're the benchmark for the rest to catch now.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how it all develops. Now, in recent weeks, I've been mentioning about that non-league bingo card, and this weekend we had another one of those to be marked off. That Tooting Beck against New Haven in the FA Vars, delayed and then postponed because the home team, who ground share at Chipstead FC, so I suppose a nomadic home, a squatter's home. The home team had forgotten the kit, the playing kit. Plenty of embarrassment for the person who maybe should have remembered that. And I also appreciate the frustrations of all who would have made it to the game. But I also think it shows the human side of non-league, which is why we love it.
Yeah, it's why we love it. And we've certainly had a week of it, haven't we? Tooting Beck, I mean, we got an exclusive interview with the chairman this week in non-league paper. The club have been I've been plastered all over the national papers this week, probably for the wrong reasons. We sat down and had a chat with them. I mean, it's one of those things you expect on your Sunday morning visit, isn't it? You know, after a few the night before, and oh, who's bought the kit? Oh, I thought you were bringing it. You know, it one of those things that it worked for them, and there was another one, wasn't there? One of my clubs down at Fleet Town. They were due to play Alton on Bank Holiday Monday, and the game got called off 15-20 minutes before because the ref hadn't turned up, and it was his ref and his two assistants, and it turns out that no one had been allocated the game. So a little bit of embarrassment for the Combined Counties League there, who apologised and said that won't ever happen again. But disappointment for the for Fleet, who were kind of expecting a nice bumper Bank Holiday Monday crowd. Didn't quite happen for them, but they were consigned to the bar instead. So two really bizarre postponements this week. We've had a week of it. I think it's as you say, what we love, non-league football. It's not something that you'll ever see in a Manchester United, Manchester derby, or a Merseyside derby in the Premier League. It's real football, and just two bizarre postponements, as I say. But that's But we accept it because we love it.
I often say that the secretarial job is the worst one in the world, because it's so many things that can go wrong there, and yeah, you're trying to juggle that with real life, real jobs, real and everything else, and all the changes in rules and that. So, but it also shows that how difficult it is for anybody involved running a club, whether you're the man setting out the kit, bringing the kit, or even as you say, allocating referees. It's a tough world out there, and people need to understand that the majority of these people are volunteers, and they've got a million and one other things going on beside their football club, but their football club probably comes way up the list, and even then you can get it wrong. I think the nicest thing was, as you say, particularly with the Tooting Beck one, they've been plastered all over the media, but they've taken it in all good spirit. I think that, the away side's been given a walkover in the tie, so they're out of the FA Vars, and I think they're going to... Oh, they host Lid Town, don't they? I think next round. I did wonder actually if the fans that had gone to support Tooting Beck, whether there was enough of them in replica shirts, or maybe they could have gone skins and the players could have played. But I thought the nice thing was that the Tooting Beck took it all in good humour. They've done the media interviews, like you say, you've got one on Sunday. They're tweaked midweek for their league game. There was a tweet of the kit being loaded into the car the night before to make sure that it was going to get to the game, and then there was a picture of the kit outside the clubhouse at Chipstead just to make sure that it was there on the evening. And again, that's why we love non-league, isn't it? It's why we love non-league paper as well. You're going to be covering that this weekend. Lots of FA Cup games, league action, plenty of other stories. Anything else you want to flag up for us?
We've got a few good things to look out for this week. We had a chat with Matt Gray. Matt Gray was telling us how disappointed he was to be leaving Sutton, but is looking to come back. National League job would be absolutely tremendous for him, and I think what he's done for Sutton at Sutton United, in getting them into League Two, was actually tremendous. We had a nice chat with him, and we got a non-league favourite. We found a non-league favourite, played for the likes of Forest Green Rovers, Gloucester City, and Trowbridge Town, by the name of John Evans, who is now a World Cup winner. He's just won the World Cricket World Cup over 70s.
See, these are the things that I miss out. I miss out on these competitions that I could qualify for. Brilliant.
That's right. I've got my eye on it for a few years' time. But we had a nice chat with one of our reporters. Had a nice chat with John Evans. I'm sure many people remember him on their travels, and not many people can say they're World Cup winners at 70 plus, can they? So yeah, look at a nice article with him as well, plus all your FA Cup and action, league action right throughout the pyramid. Bumper edition this week. Looking forward to seeing all the action.
Yeah, and looking forward to reading the paper, John. John Couch, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Cheers, Tim.
And once again, that's the end of this week's show. Don't forget to get involved on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom and Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Castbox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Note, Overcast, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Do stay safe. Do enjoy your football. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At the UPS store, we know being a small business owner means holiday time is still go time. Still get those orders shipped time and still re-up on stamps and supplies time. That's why this upcoming holiday, while others close up shop, we'll be open and happy to help you keep being unstoppable. Come into your local store today. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable.